which is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Under thy holy and righteous name, our Father, is praise ordained. Because thou art God, and beside thee there's none other. And how we praise thee that thou hast revealed thyself unto our heart by thy Spirit, and caused us to walk in the way everlasting, in the way of righteousness and true holiness, for which we give thee thanks. Oh, we thank you for this medium of radio that thou hast given us, that we may give out thy truth and sing forth thy praises and tell this nation that Christ rules and reigns and that he's Lord of all. Oh, by the power of thy Holy Spirit, we pray that thou wilt take thy word home to each and every heart. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Oh.
say amen to that. Dear friend, as you listen to me there today, do you know the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? Does He know you? Have you been washed in His precious blood, delivered by His almighty power? Do you walk in that experiential knowledge of Him day by day, in that living, loving, and lasting union of love that God gives unto His people? This to me is the greatest thing that can ever happen to a living soul, is to know Christ and to walk in Him. We're happy that you're with us today. We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. My God has made you a faithful group to support His work, and we just give glory and praise unto His holy name. Now, if you want to write us this week, let us know how these messages are coming into your home. They're blessing your heart. Perhaps there's an object of prayer you'd like to share with us as we meet every morning, praying for the different objects that come before us. We want you to write us. And if you want a copy of these messages that we are delivering, this present series on the true Israel of God, when they come in print, we'd be happy to mail them to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Our new address now, Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We continue today the message began last week on the subject, the true Israel of God. We showed to you from the book of Ephesians that it was revealed unto the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit that it was God's purpose from eternity that He would have a chosen people upon this earth at all times unto the Lord's return, and that this people would be both Jew and Gentile brought into one body, the church of which Christ was the head. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10 reads, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. This same truth is brought out again in Ephesians 2, 14 and 15, that the middle wall of partition had been broken down between Jew and Gentile, the enmity between them abolished, and that they had, by the grace of God, through the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross, been made one in Him, and thereby made up the true Israel of God. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, Brother Paul again brings in this great truth in verses 5, 6, 9, and 10, that unto Him and the holy apostles had been revealed the eternal purpose of God, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of God's promise in Christ by the gospel, the same as the Jew, thus making the true Israel of God those who had been made new creatures in Christ Jesus by the new birth and who were now spiritual Israel. We also showed to you that it was this great truth that all believers of all ages have been the true Israel of God, that Brother Paul brings out so forcibly in the book of Galatians to refute the Judaizers who claim that you had to be a physical Jew by circumcision to be a part of the true Israel of God. Listen to Galatians 3:7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? Also verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And how are they blessed? By being in union by faith with the one who was the promised seed of Abraham, verse 16, who was Christ. Therefore we read in verse 29, and if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I want you to listen. I want you to hear God's Word as it unfolds in our hearts today, will you? Now as we go into our message today, let us look into the fourth chapter of Galatians and see further Brother Paul's argument under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit concerning who are the true Israel of God. In verses 21 through 31, we find Paul saying that Abraham's two sons, the one by a bondwoman, Hagar, born after the flesh, the other by a free woman, Sarah, born by promise, show in an allegory the difference between unbelieving Israel after the flesh and those of all nations who instead know Christ and have yielded to his claims and thereby have been made free. Paul said that the son of the bondwoman, or the children of Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children, while the son of the bondwoman, that is, let me repeat that. Paul said that the son of the bondwoman, or the children of Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children, while the son of the free woman represents the church, Jerusalem which is above, which is free and is the mother of us all. Again, Paul said that believers, as Isaac was, are the children of promise, but that with respect to the unbelieving children of the flesh, the Scriptures said, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Galatians 4:30. In other words, Brother Paul is saying, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as far as God's eternal purpose is concerned, cast out, remove from consideration the physical, political nation of Israel and her unsaved citizens, for the inheritance belongs to the spiritual Israel and not to natural Israel. The son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Physical Israel shall not be heir with natural Israel. Brother Paul closes that fourth chapter with these gracious words, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, for the flesh profiteth nothing, but of the free woman, because Christ has made us free in him. So we see then that now and forever it is only of believers that it can be said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, according to Romans 8:14. And the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Romans 8:15 and 16. Before we leave the book of Galatians, I would call your attention to the 6th chapter, verses 15 and 16. There we find Brother Paul's conclusion of this entire book, wherein the Holy Spirit had been showing us the eternal purpose of God in the spiritual seed of Abraham, and that those who are in Christ are the true Israel of God. Listen to these verses, and let them sink down deep into our heart, will you? Listen now, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Dear friend, nothing could be plainer than this, which is the teaching of the entire Bible, that to be children of God, and therefore the true Israel, we must be made new creatures in Christ, and this by the Holy Spirit's operation in the new birth. Then in verse 17 of Galatians 6, Brother Paul said, since I have spent one whole letter showing you that Israel after the flesh is nothing, and that Judaism will profit you nothing, and that God now deals with this true Israel, the spiritual seed of Abraham. Then, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. What he is saying is this: I bear in my heart the mark of circumcision by the Spirit, and in my body the marks of the sufferings for the cause of Christ, as I have been persecuted by the Jews, the children of Abraham, born after the flesh. So never speak to me again that Israel after the flesh is God's chosen people, for I know that they are not, said the apostle. Are you listening? Let's go further. Let's go to the book of Hebrews and see this same truth illustrated over and over again. The truth that God has done away with the types and the shadows, also the physical things of Israel, which I agree stood for a time, but have now given away to the spiritual realities as found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Since this has been accomplished by God in Christ, then, dear friend, to go back to an earthly temple, an earthly altar, an earthly tabernacle, an earthly priesthood, earthly animal sacrifices, an earthly covenant, an earthly throne, and an earthly king in a so-called 1,000 years of Jewish prosperity with Christ sitting upon an earthly throne in present Jerusalem would be to turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, as Brother Paul said in Galatians 4:9. It would mean to put to naught this great book of Hebrews and all its teaching that God in His eternal purpose has a better country, a heavenly, waiting His people, in fact, better things than all the physical things of this life. Now to the book of Hebrews. This book, perhaps more than any of the books of the Bible, stands as a source of frustration and embarrassment to those who teach that God plans to return one day to the natural trappings of the old Jewish economy, to the natural land and city, the natural law and ordinances, the natural kingdom and throne, and the natural temple and sacrifices. You see, dear friend, the Holy Spirit, through the writer of the Hebrews, shows us the overwhelming superiority of the new and the better age that dawned at Calvary. He shows that after Calvary, the natural types and figures had served their purpose and were vanishing away, having been replaced forever by the eternal and spiritual realities that are found only in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen now. I want you to note the word better as it is used in the book of Hebrews. Did the Israelite fathers hear the voice of the prophets? We, the true Israel, true spiritual Israel, hear the better voice of God's Son, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Did the Israelites have a high priest after the Levitical order? We have a better one after the better and undying order of Melchizedek, according to Hebrews 6:20 through that 7th chapter. Did Israelite of old seek unsuccessfully for perfection through the law? We have a better hope through the grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, according to Hebrews 7:19. Did they have an earthly sanctuary with candlesticks, table and showbread, and a tabernacle with the golden censer, the ark and the mercy seat, according to Hebrews 1 through 5, we have Christ, a greater and more perfect tabernacle, according to Hebrews 9:11. Did they have the blood of bulls and of goats that could not take away sins? Hebrews 10:4, we have the incomparable better blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, Hebrews 9:14. Did the Israelites receive an earthly land? We have a better country that is in heavenly, according to Hebrews 11:16. Did they come to a mount that could be touched, Hebrews 12:18? We have come to a better mount, Mount Zion, according to Hebrews 12:22. Did they have the natural city of Jerusalem? We have the incomparable city of Jerusalem, the better city, city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, according to Hebrews 12:22. Isn't this precious? This blesses my soul when we see what God has for His people in Christ. To go further, we as spiritual Israel have a better covenant. The new covenant that was foretold with the prophets, and that since Calvary has forever replaced the old and faulty covenant according to Hebrews 8:7 that existed between God and Israel. The new covenant is the covenant that Jeremiah prophesied of and that was fulfilled once and for all for both Jew or Gentile at the first coming of Christ. The new covenant that God has made with the new Israel is not according to the covenant that He made with natural Israel, which covenant they broke, according to Jeremiah 31:32. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God. And they shall be my people. They shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, Isaiah prophesied in Jeremiah 31:33 and 34. The prophet Ezekiel expressed it like this in these words, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. My tabernacle shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ezekiel 37:26 and 27. And brethren, these prophecies were spoken of in Hebrews in two places. In Hebrews 8:6-13 and Hebrews 10:16-17, which says that God spoke this of the new spiritual Israel, the true Israel of God on whose heart He would write His perfect law. Also, Hebrews 8:6 tells us that this much better covenant was already established in the first century, and that the old one even then was decaying and getting old and was ready to vanish away, according to Hebrews 8:13. Not long after the writing of Hebrews, the temple rituals and sacrifices, the proudest features of the old covenant relationship, vanished completely as the city of Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed by the Romans. But let us go further and show that the old covenant made with the Jews, which they did not keep, is called by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:7, the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, and the ministration of condemnation, 2 Corinthians 3:9. But the new covenant, he said, is the ministration of the Spirit. So why should we want to go back to anything like this in a so-called millennium here upon earth with Christ sitting upon an earthly throne? This new covenant giveth life. The old covenant has faded away, and the new covenant has replaced it because it is reveals the glory of God, and it excelleth in glory. Then Brother Paul draws this conclusion in 2 Corinthians 3:11, that the new covenant had forever replaced the old covenant in these words, for if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Dear friend, as you listen to me the other day, I want you to understand that since Calvary and forever, the new covenant is God's only covenant with man, and it is based upon the better promises of the crucified, buried, risen, exalted Lord Jesus Christ. Its inauguration was announced by Christ in the night of His betrayal, there when He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink you all of it. This is my blood of the new covenant, the new testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, according to Matthew 26. This covenant relationship with God through the blood of Christ is offered to as many as receive Him, according to John 1:12, and it must be prior to His second coming, for then there will be no second chance, and no chance for after He comes, in His second coming, comes the white throne judgment according to Revelation 20. This covenant is the covenant of grace, and therefore is based upon the operation of our triune God by His Spirit, working in the hearts of both Jew and Gentile, to call out the bride for Christ, who is the head of the spiritual race called the true Israel of God. One other thought before we close today is this. The book of Hebrews was written to show that Christ our Lord, who was God manifested in the flesh as Jesus of Nazareth, is far greater and better than all creatures and things. In chapter 1, he is spoken of as being better than the angels. In chapter 2, he is spoken of as being greater and better than man. In chapter 3, he is spoken of as being better and greater than Moses. In chapter 4, better and greater than Joshua. In chapters 5, 6, and 7, he is shown as the great high priest, better than the priesthood of Aaron. In chapter 8, he is shown as the one who obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much more also is he the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. In chapter 9, our Lord Jesus is shown to be greater than all the sacrifices, greater than the tabernacle and its ministry, and that he is the one great offering made for his people, the true Israel of God. Oh, listen to Hebrews 9. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We see then that Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, is better and far greater than all, and therefore he has a name which is above every name. Also his work is complete, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hebrews 10, 14 and 10. This, dear friend, shows us that in Christ Jesus, the true Israel of God, made up of believers born again by his Spirit, need no future earthly altar or temple or sacrifice or throne, because we are forever complete in Christ for his once-for-all salvation, which he has finished at Calvary. Hallelujah! Praise be unto his holy name for who he is and what he is and what he has wrought for his people. We want you to write us, will you? Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.